We'll quiet our hearts for the bell choir.
Our next piece is Allegro Maestoso, and it will be accompanied by Barbara on the organ. They really do a good job. I can't wait till you hear it.
Thank you.
It's sincerely good to see everyone this morning. Welcome to the church, and thank you for those numbers of bell choir. I think Earl had an announcement.
Just a reminder about the chicken pot pie supper, November 10th. The deadline is next week, so if you haven't got tickets, get tickets. We need to know the final number for next Sunday. Thank you.
And I just wanted to remind everybody about the Trunk or Treat on Saturday. It is from 4 to 6 here at the church down in the bottom parking lot. We've had a lot of people volunteer to bring things or to help, and I really appreciate it. But we could use maybe a few more helpers if you would like to decorate a trunk, or if you want to come out and help with the games, or, you know, just to even bring some other food items, but we're looking forward to it. We had a lot of fun last year. The kids were really, it was a fun event. So hopefully you can come out and enjoy it with us. Thank you.
Any other announcements or concerns? It's always good and exciting to hear things happening in the church, and the more that participate, the better it all turns out. Let's stand for our opening hymn, number 147 in the Brown Hymnal.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King.
There are various announcements in the bulletin. One I should have mentioned would be that tonight we're having the program by the Piercing Word entitled Sermon on the Mount. It's 7 o'clock this evening here at church. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them,
"You know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, so I am.'
If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.
For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you.
Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him.
If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them."
Let us pray the invocation prayer together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. This time we'll have the children's story. Would all the children come forward?
Yes, every day is a good day, especially when you're in the house of the Lord, right? Absolutely. Okay, we haven't seen this person in a while. Who do you think is back there? Jesus? Hopefully you see Jesus every day, but no, it's not Jesus. It's Cooper. Cooper. Do you remember what Cooper? It is the doggy. Yes, Brianna got it. Was that what you were thinking? Were you thinking the duck? From the Trolls? From the movie? Oh, okay, I will have to check that one out. But we will see. You tell me if this is the same one. Okay, now on the count of three, everybody say, "Come on out, Cooper." 1, 2, 3. Come out, Cooper!
Oh! You should have seen me in football tryouts yesterday. I was awesome!
You sure like football, Cooper.
I ran the ball down the field and made a touchdown. The other team tried to stop me, but I held on to that ball and kept right on running.
I hope you didn't drop the ball for our children's story today. Did you memorize the verse from Proverbs 3?
On my second play, I carried the ball 20 yards. Wowzer, was I fast. I know I'll make that team.
You're already part of our worship team here for the children's story. Did you read the story about Solomon turning away from God?
Coach says if you're going to be on the football team, you got to practice, practice, practice.
Cooper, you're not even listening to me. Did you practice the songs that we decided to use?
Huh? Was I supposed to do something for children's church today?
Don't you remember, Cooper? We talked about this. It sounds like you were too busy with football to even think about God.
Coach says if I want to make the team, I got to make football number one in my life. Or I'll just be the guy warming the bench on the sidelines.
If you want to be on God's team, you have to make him number one in your life. Right, kids?
Yes.
Yes. Solomon was a star on God's team most of his life. But as he grew older, he turned his heart to other gods.
Huh? Other gods? There aren't any other gods. Everyone knows that.
You're right. God gave Solomon everything: power, riches, fame, and wisdom. But Solomon started worshiping false gods, gods that weren't real. Other things became more important to him than God.
Oh, no. You mean like football?
Football is fine, right, Pastor Marty? It's great. But you shouldn't let it squeeze God out of your life. Everything that's more important to you than God is a false god.
Like watching TV and reading Super Pop comic books? Wowzer, do I have to give up Super Pop?
No, God wants you to have fun. He just wants you to be devoted to Him.
You mean I can like football, but I should love God more?
That's right, because Solomon's heart turned away from God. He lost most of his kingdom. He became a bench warmer on God's team.
I don't want to be a bench warmer. I want to be fully devoted to God.
So how about you? Do you want to be a bench warmer or do you want to be fully devoted on God's team? Yeah, me too. Because we get to have fun here, don't we? Yes, we do. Yes. Oh, you can definitely love your mom and dad. God wants you to do that. It's actually one of the commandments. Yeah. So you put love God first, then who? Parents, exactly. And then everybody else falls after that, right? And even football, right, Cooper?
Yeah!
Yes! Anybody else have a question for Cooper while we're here?
And don't forget Super Pup comic books.
Oh, Super Buck comic books. You got to read the Super Pups, right?
Yeah!
Yes. Anybody have a question for Cooper before we say goodbye? Okay, Cooper, can you do our prayer with us today before you go?
Hurry!
Okay, here we go.
Dear God.
Dear God.
We thank you so much for your love. And help us not be bench warmers.
And help us not be bench warmers.
And be completely devoted to you.
And completely devoted to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, say bye to Cooper.
Oh!
All right, my friends, you can go back to your seat until it's time for children's church.
The story goes of a bird that was a bit of a rebel once. I was trying to come up with a bird name, couldn't think of any, so I'll just pick on my wife, Tammy. This rebel bird was named Tammy and normally did something different than what the flock wanted to do. When the flock wanted to go into this yard, Tammy went into that yard. When the flock wanted to go to this tree, Tammy went to the other tree. Well, the elders of the flock decided it was a day kind of like today, that it was soon time to head south for the winter. So they decided to go south, but Tammy thought she was going to stay for a little bit. And she was frolicking in Pennsylvania for a few days, and the weather was decent like this, but it started to get worse. And in a few days from after the flock had left, the rain started coming, and it got really cold, and it got really blustery and windy, and eventually it started to sleet, and it started to snow. And Tammy went to her nest that night thinking, you know, I better head south with the flock the next morning. Well, that night, it sleeted so much that when Tammy got up in the morning, she could not fly. Realized that her wings were frozen. And as she walked out of the nest, realized she couldn't fly. The breeze was blowing pretty good. Here she blew right off the branch, fell right on the ground. Now, this tree happened to be in a pasture. And it was a horse pasture. And as Tammy's laying there thinking, boy, I really screwed up this time. And she had prayed to God when the weather turned, thinking, can you help me, Lord, get out of this mess? I'll fly south. And then as she's laying there with her wings frozen in the field, thinking, this looks pretty hopeless, along comes a horse, because this was a horse pasture. And she thinks, oh, boy, now I'm really done. This horse is probably going to trample right on me. Well, as it's walking over her, not seeing her, it did not trample her, but it ended up pooping on her. And she thought, my word, in all my misery, this happens to me. And you know, I think a lot of times we're faced with situations like that, too, where we think life isn't exactly fair. And it's not. Things happen to us that aren't. Sometimes they're kind of our fault, but sometimes we have no control and it doesn't turn out right. Could be health issues, could be things at work, could be things at school, could be things on the sports team that you play with, teammates, teachers, friends, coworkers. Could be any number of things, family members. We've got could have situations with our family. And my guess is if we all ran around the congregation, each one of us could list the problem that we've got that we really aren't sure how to handle sometimes. And of course, Tammy was in this situation right now. But what she didn't realize was there's heat in horse poop. And as this poop was on her for a little while, it started to warm up her wings. And she could eventually fly again. And also, at this time, the sleeting had stopped, and she could fly south for the winter. And, you know, I thought it's an interesting little story about a bird, but it's the way some of our lives feel sometimes. Life isn't fair. But if we have no real test, sometimes we have no real testimony. Let's say the offertory prayer together. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the Lord of God abide in him? My little children, let not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. At this time, the children are dismissed to Children's Church, and we'll have the morning offering, and we will sing the offertory hymn.
It's good to see all of you here this morning on this day of worshiping our Lord. Glad that you took time to come to hear the word and have fellowship with one another in the church. We come now to a time of prayer, and this time if you would get out your inserts that has the names of the people on a prayer list. Above that, of course, note the events that we have during the week. Take time to come to all the church events that are listed there. We have a number of people that we need to keep in prayer this week. I want to give you an update on a few folks. We've been praying for Brenda Weyerbach. She had extensive surgery. And just got word from her that she is cancer-free. So that definitely is an answer to prayer because she's been through quite a surgery there. Also, Mary Lineweaver, continue to keep her in prayer as her health continues to decline. And also got a phone call this morning. We need to remember Catherine Hartgraft. She has a number of health issues, so we need to keep her in prayer as well. Also, in your bulletin each week, we are praying for a particular church in our district, and this week we're praying for the Chickies Church of the Brethren. So the Chickies Church of the Brethren is our church that we're praying for this week, and the Cacalico Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Let's come to our God in prayer. God, we thank you and praise you that we have made this time to worship you, to be in fellowship with one another, to hear your word, to hear music, to be in ministry. Lord, just thank you for the many privileges of being your people in your church. And God, we pray for forgiveness for times that we have sinned, because we know that we are not the perfect people. We're not the perfect church, Lord God. There won't be any perfect church until we get to heaven. But we pray that you would lead us and guide us as a church as we be the church that you want us to be. We pray for the many people on the prayer concern list, Lord. Each one of these names, Lord, have particular health concerns or emotional concerns, Lord God. We lift each one to you. Help us during times of crisis and illness to know, Lord, that you are there. In spite of what happens, you are Lord. You are God. You're in control. We lift up this morning Catherine Hartgraft, Lord. We lift her to you this morning. We pray that you would and be with her in a very special way, and be with the family as you go through a difficult time with her health. We also are thankful for Brenda, Lord, that she's cancer-free. We thank you for that report. We pray that you be with her during her recovery from this extensive illness, from this extensive surgery. We lift up Mary Lineweaver to you. We pray for strength and peace for her, Lord God. We lift up the Chickies Church of the Brethren this week, Lord. We pray for this church and for the ministry that the church does. We pray for the ministers there, that you anoint them from on high, and as you lead them in the ministry there, bless everything that they do, Lord. Help them, Lord, to be leading in the community as a church, as you lead them. We pray for our denomination, our district, our congregation, Lord God. Help us, Lord, just to listen to one another, and most important, listen to you, listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit as a church, as a denomination. Help us, Lord, to truly be people of your word, to be faithful to your word. In spite of anything that we face, we continue to pray for our unity in the church, Lord, that you would keep us united in spite of differences that we see in a variety of issues. Pray for a nation that we live in. We thank you that we live in a nation where we have freedom, freedom to worship you. We also, Lord, pray for the issues that our country faces with the upcoming election. We pray for our president, for members of Congress, that you would lead them and guide them, Lord, to make policies that not only affect our lives, but affect the kingdom of God. We pray now that you would lead us in this time of as you look to your word for direction and guidance. Help us always to be faithful as your people. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning to our scripture text. We're looking at one of the teachings of Jesus about being a servant. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Mark chapter 10. Follow along in your Bibles. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Mark. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you." Key phrase there. "But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May God add a blessing of the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for this opportunity to gather around your word, to hear what you have to say. We pray that your word would always be in our hearts, divide that blessing that we need to put us in places where we need to be. Guide every word that I speak in the meditation of my heart, that you, Jesus Christ, would be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. I distinctly remember my first year when I played Little League Baseball. I was 9, 10 years old. The name of my team was called Shelley and Fenstermacher. It was an old hardware store that's probably out of business now in the town of Souderton that I grew up. That was a rough year for our baseball team. We lost every game. One game, we went up against one of the best teams in our league. And before the game started, one of the players on the opposing team walked over to our side. And he said to us, "Are you ready to lose?" And the sad thing is that no one on our team said a word. We just kind of sat there like, "Yeah, well, I guess we're going to lose." No one said, "Well, just you wait and see." No, we just sat there expecting to lose a game, which we lost. We live in a society, we live in a world where greatness is our goal. We see it in sports. We see it in politics. We see it in the workplace. We even see it in families. But then we hear the words of Jesus. "Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all." Now, Jesus uses the word slave because that was the absolute lowest segment of society you could get, to be extreme. Now, this was one of the hardest teachings for Jesus' disciples to accept, as well, I'm sure it is for us. Because the disciples, oddly enough, wanted to be great. They wanted to sit in the places of honor with Jesus. If you look at verse 37 of today's lesson, they told Jesus, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand, the other on your left hand, in your glory." Now, by the way, that word "right hand" means the person sitting to the right of you had the highest honor at the table. The person to the left of you had the second highest honor. That's the way the Jewish tables were signified at that time. You had special places of honor. The Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22, verse 24, tells us that there was a dispute among the disciples as to which of them should be the greatest. Now, you may read that and you may think that these disciples were just a bunch of immature children. But be honest with yourself. Ask yourself, have you ever wanted to be great? Have you ever wanted to be in special places of honor? Have you ever thought that you needed special treatment? That you deserve to be honored more than this person? Have you ever thought that? Well, let's hear what Jesus has to say in today's text. There are 5 points I'd like to make. First one in your inserts. In a time of crisis, we are all on the same level with God. In a time of crisis, we are all on the same level with God. Now, this morning's text takes place during a time of crisis. Jesus was about to be crucified. And in a time of crisis, no matter what crisis we face, we are all one under the shed blood of Jesus. This is what Jesus was trying to get across. We are all in need of grace and forgiveness. And so I want us to look now at the time this was written by Mark. This was written 5 days before Jesus would be crucified. If you look back at Mark 10, verses 33 to 34, Jesus there just finished telling his disciples that the chief priests and scribes will condemn Jesus and mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. Can't get much worse than that. It was a time of crisis. It was a time of crisis for not only Jesus, but his followers and his disciples. A crisis is a time for everyone to come together. The last thing you need is to argue about who's the greatest. Let's look at verses 35 to 37, and let's look at James and John. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Now, like I said before, the right hand and left hand refers to places of honor, but it also talks about places of honor in the future kingdom of God. So they're talking here about the future kingdom. Where are we going to be? Just like they have places of honor at the Jewish table, they were thinking, we need to be with Jesus in the kingdom of God, in your glory. That's why it says, in your glory. But let's look at James and John for a moment. Now, James and John, who mentioned this, were part of the three inner disciples. These are the three disciples that were closest to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. So who knows what James and John were thinking when they have said this? They might have believed that they were privileged since they were the part of the inner three with Jesus. Maybe they were thinking, you know, of the future. What happens when we die? What happens when Jesus dies? You know, maybe we can be up there with Jesus in heaven on his right hand and left hand. We don't know exactly what was going on with James and John in their thinking, but it is clear that they were only thinking of themselves and their privileges. Look at the next verse, verse 38, James 10, 38. It says, Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? So Jesus basically tells James and John, you really don't know what you're talking about being in these special privileged places. He says, you really want special seats in my kingdom? And then he throws them a curve. He tells them, if you want that, there's going to be a sacrifice and a cost to make. If you want to be with me, can you handle that? Jesus asks them. He says in verse 38, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? So he was asking them, are you willing to suffer with me? This is where we get the idea of greatness means sacrifice. Greatness means a cost in the kingdom. He asked them, are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I'll drink when I'm on the cross? Are you able to do that? I'm sure that statement from Jesus caught them off guard. James and John, I'm sure, had no clue of the suffering Jesus would go through in those next 5 days on his way to the cross. Even though they willingly said, we are able. We are able. But now, all of a sudden, Jesus is telling them, it's not about sitting in places of honor. It's all about sacrifice. It's all about suffering. It's all about being with me in times of crisis. And this is what the disciples and others today just cannot accept. Why should Jesus suffer? Why should a good man suffer? Why should the Messiah, our future king, suffer and die on a cross? Where is the glory and greatness in that? Well, that leads to the second point in your inserts. Our glory is prepared in heaven. Our glory is prepared in heaven. Our glory is the work of God. Our glory is not man-made, has nothing to do with anything that we can do on our own. Our glory with God is not on an honor system. It's not who you know. It's not the status of people that you know. Look at Mark 10, verse 40. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is what? Prepared. Prepared. God honors those who love him. God honors those who love him. Whose honor are we trying to get? When we're talking about glory, whose honor are we trying to get? Who are we trying to please? What kind of honor are you looking for? These are the questions we need to ask when it comes to greatness. Now, this is for all the people who were picked last to be on a team in gym class. Remember that when you're in gym class? You know, you had two captains, and the whole gym class was there, and they decided who's going to be on their team. And I'm sure there might be someone here this morning who is picked last. If you were picked last, don't really feel bad about that, because it was only man's choosing or those two kids choosing. The kid who chose you to be last really didn't know anything about you other than your athletic ability. Choosing had nothing to do with your salvation with God through Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with that. And if there are anyone here this morning who are picked first to be on the team, don't get a swelled head. You're not that great. If you are chosen because of athletic ability, you're eventually going to get old. You're going to get feeble. You're not going to be the person you're going to be. In our schools today, and I'm talking high schools and colleges, there's this desire to be great. You know, there's every kind of clique you can find in our schools. Many of these cliques are on some kind of honor system. I mean, do you ever think about who gets picked in a clique? Who gets the choosing? Who gets to choose that? I remember when I was at college, at McPherson College, we had a small campus, small student body, and so therefore we had a lot of these little cliques around. We had one dormitory where all the jocks were. These were all the football players. So they had their own clique. Then we had the honors dormitory. These were the ones that had all the high grades, and they thought they were important kids. And then we had the theater students, the theater and drama students. These are ones who were all in the plays, and they thought they were great. They hung out together, but no one wanted to hang out with them because they didn't want to be with drama people. Then we had the students who lived off campus, and these are the ones who complained because they were left out of everything. They didn't know what was going on campus. And so with all these cliques, it was impossible to try to get everyone together. And then on our campus catalog one time, it showed these three kids that were just in perfect harmony, just wanting to be together, and that was just for show. It was just a total farce. It was not how it was on campus. Our honors, our glory, will be when we reach heaven and Jesus Christ is there as the judge. In heaven, there will be no cliques there. Third, in your inserts, greatness is in serving. Greatness is in serving. Look at Mark 10. 43 to 44. Yet it shall not be so among you. Before that, we see Jesus is telling them, you know, the world says, you know, you have rulers over you. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slaves of all. A servant, what is a servant? A servant is someone who is completely subject to the will of another person. And as I said, slaves were considered to be the people who were at the bottom of the social ladder during Jesus' day. This is in complete opposite of what we see in our world today. To serve someone in our world would be considered a sign of weakness. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the church, service is at the heart of the Christian life. Let me repeat that. When it comes to the church, service is at the heart of the Christian life. Anybody can be a servant. Anybody can serve. You don't have to have special talents, abilities, grade point average, honors. Anybody can be a servant. It could be as easy as opening a door for someone who has their hands full of boxes at your local food store. It could be as simple as helping your next door neighbor raking leaves. And service is a good witness for Christ. Many brethren over the years, and we have those here in our congregation, many brethren have answered the call for service by serving 1 or 2 years in Brethren Volunteer Service, BVS. And BVS is a witness for Jesus Christ. They may not advertise themselves, but that's what BVS really is. You are doing service in the name of Jesus. Other people in this congregation have answered the call for service by dedicating themselves for 1 or 2 weeks on a service project, whether it's through Brethren Disaster Ministries or through other organizations. And many of the people who come back with these service projects come back with a different perspective about how other people live in another culture. But the most common thing people receive who are on a service project is gratitude. The people who are being served are always gracious. Gratitude is overwhelming. People will always appreciate your service, whatever that service is. But people's appreciation is not the main reason we do service. We do service because Jesus tells us to be servants to each other. It is one of his teachings which we are to follow. Fourth, in your insert, greatness is in God's hands and not ours. Greatness is in God's hands and not ours. We are to serve, we are called to serve, and God does the exaltation. God honors the work. God honors the service. We see this from the example of Jesus. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, Philippians 2, 8 through 9, the Apostle Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, that is Jesus, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. So what that says is Jesus did his work and ministry as a servant, and God exalted him to the highest heaven and gave him the highest name. We see this in our own work. We see this in our own service. Whatever job you have today, whatever work you do, I ask that you do it for the Lord's service. And God will exalt your work, no matter what work it is. And I want us now to think about ways that we can serve God in the church today. You know, I think a lot of times when people think about serving the church, they think of, you know, a few things like preaching a sermon or having the gift of teaching Sunday school. You know, those are definitely gifts in the church. But there's a lot more than that. There's a lot more ways you can serve God in the church. You can bring glory to God in other ways, like being a greeter in the church or being an usher or volunteering in the kitchen for any church event, any church supper, visiting a shut-in, visiting those faithful members of the church who are shut in. That's a service to God, and anybody can do that. We have to remember that God calls us not to be great in our work, but to be faithful and obedient in our work. He calls us to be faithful, not successful. And I admit sometimes in a church that's kind of hard to do. When times are challenging, it's hard to remain faithful. But that is what God calls us to do. He calls us to be faithful, not successful. We see this with the example of Jesus. Jesus was faithful to death. He was faithful to the cross. He was faithful in times of persecution and suffering. It must have been hard. But God rewarded his faithfulness. And we can be sure that God will reward our faithful service as well in some way. Our fifth and final point is our service to God keeps us in fellowship in the church. When we serve God, it keeps us in fellowship in the church. We are not lone rangers for ourselves in the church. We are not here to serve for our glory. We don't serve the church to get what we want. We don't serve the church to serve our own agenda, to see the things where we think the church needs to go. Our service points us to God. Our service points us to how we best can serve our brothers and sisters in the church and in our community as well. And so I close today by challenging you to think of ways and to be in prayer of ways that you can serve the church. Be prayerful about that. Prayerfully consider how you can serve. And I understand that we live very difficult lives. We live demanding lives. And for many of you, when it comes to servicing the church, it's a matter of priority. And you need to set your priorities. What's more important right now, you might ask yourself. How should I manage my time? How should I manage the gifts that God gave me? What things do I need to cut out in my life in order to serve the church? These are questions that you need to prayerfully consider between you and God. But think about the one we're serving. We are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. We're serving the one who gave his own life for you and me. We're serving the one who showed the highest form of love, the one who the world needs to know. We're serving the one who is head of the church. You and I, we can't think of a better reason to serve the church. It is all for his glory and his honor. May you search your heart today and see how you can best serve the Lord today. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you for the example that you have set for us. By being a servant, by being not only a Lord and Savior, but being the servant. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful as people in the church as we serve you in the church today. I pray for anyone this morning, Lord, who is thinking about serving the church, but it's not quite sure whether that's the right thing, that you just speak to their hearts that they would make that decision today. And of course, help us to always know that our service to you depends on our relationship with you, whether we given our hearts truly to you, Jesus. And I pray for anyone this morning who hasn't done that, that they would make that decision to serve you today. We will give you, Lord, all the praise, honor, and glory. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing our closing song, I just want to say that the choir this morning will have a choral benediction after our hymn. So please just be aware of that. Let's all stand and sing our closing hymn number 444.